The story of Joseph, you know, there are a lot of interesting character studies that can be made about individuals who are quite prominent in Scripture, and some who are not so prominent, but yet played a very important part. Genesis 41 is well into the story of Joseph. We've already seen a number of things happen in his life, and most of them pretty rough, especially for a young man all by himself, separated from his family, separated from his culture, his country, and in a whole new society, a whole new civilization. And yet he holds on, and he sees the blessings of the Lord come to him. Genesis 41, I just want to, we'll start at 46 and read down to 49. And I just want to set the stage here for what I want to share with you for a short while here tonight. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. Now remember, this is in fulfillment of Pharaoh's dream. He had a dream of plenty for 7 years and then a dream of famine for 7 years. And Joseph has been put in charge of gathering and providing and preparing. That's what I want to share with you tonight, preparing. So we continue on, verse 48. He gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up in the food, or laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. Pretty amazing. All of the effort, all of the work. Because we're not talking about a garden. Those of you who are gardeners, keeping an eye on it, keeping the rabbits out, keeping the birds out, and cherishing each cucumber and each tomato. This is the whole land. This is everywhere. And it's probably not an exaggeration that the corn was as the sand of the sea. It was very plentiful because 7 years of plenty, just as God said. Amen. So preparation, so important here. You can be seated. Thank you. The Lord bless you. In Joseph's life, he prepared for this moment. He prepared for this responsibility. It wasn't just a flash, and here's the opportunity. Come on, Joseph, step into this position, and look at all the privilege, look at all the power, look at all the prestige you've got. Wow, amazing, just a turn, a flip, just like that. No, he was preparing. There was preparation that was going on, and we know any endeavor, any job, any trip is going to be something that you'll have to prepare for. And sometimes the preparation is extensive. Sometimes it's fairly simple. And nonetheless, the principle of preparation is seen in everyday life, and then certainly in the aspects here of looking at Joseph. If you're fishing, your nets and your gear, your gas, your bait, everything's got to be in place. Then taking care of your catch, the canning, the freezing, and so on. If, moose season coming up soon. If there's a hunt in your future and you're successful, you gut it and you cut it, and oh my, the work really gets big. Grind it, wrap it, freeze it. It's but so good in the wintertime. And so it just is necessary to understand preparation. Remember that Joseph was the favorite of his family. or of his father, rather. A coat of many colors. He was the son of Jacob in Jacob's old age, and of course, Rebekah, a favorite. And he loved him more, the Bible says, than the other sons. And you see some of the situation of the other sons that were brought about. And Joseph is home. Joseph is at his father's side. He's doing his father's bidding. He's ready and willing to step forward. And so you can see there would be maybe some favoritism. Favoritism, not necessarily a good idea, but thank God we received the Father's favor, our Heavenly Father, and I'm thankful that He desires to favor us in so many aspects, in so many ways, and I'm thankful we have a coat of righteousness, amen, a robe of righteousness that we are privileged to wear because of the Lord making a difference in our lives. And remember, the scripture says, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Don't live below your privilege. Don't feel like, you know, God's just going to dole it out to you a smidgen at a time, whatever a smidgen is. You can have the kingdom and be blessed. The dreams that Joseph had, it doesn't say specifically that they were divinely inspired. But given how things unfolded, the way things came to pass, you got to believe there was some inspiration there. The dream of the sheaves bowing down as they were all working in the harvest, and then the dream of the sun, the moon, and the stars bowing down. So from harvest to heaven, the realms were covered, and Joseph was on top. And no doubt he held on to those dreams through all the difficulties that he experienced, the hardship that he went through, the misunderstandings, the mistreatment that he had. I'm sure those dreams were an anchor there. And maybe in his humanity he was a bit frustrated and at times gave voice to that frustration. God, what's happening? God, what's going on? You gave me these dreams, and we're a long ways away from any of those things happening. But he continued on, and the preparation was ongoing in his life. His experiences in Egypt didn't always have the setting that we read here from Genesis 41. He was sold into slavery by his own brothers. He went to see them. His father sent him with the instruction, see how your brethren are doing, see how the flocks are doing, and is it well with thy brethren, is it well with the flocks? That was his purpose. That was why he was sent. And so Joseph goes and encounters somebody who inquires, what are you doing? He said, I seek my brethren. And unfortunately, what he was looking forward to, what he was anticipating, was not what happened. Sometimes our expectations are come crashing down. He traveled from Hebron to Shechem to Dothan. So you look that up in the maps. That's when the maps have some purpose in the back of your Bible. You might wonder what is there for, but go from Hebron to Shechem to Dothan, and you can see where he journeyed. He's 17 years old. He's got this responsibility to go to seek out his brothers. And when his brothers see him in the distance and they recognize him, they didn't plan a welcome like he had anticipated. They started talking about a pit. They started mocking. What we'll see what becomes of this dreamer. And they could remember the dreams. And I'm sure Joseph could as well. And so they put him in the pit, and then they recognized they can make some money off of him. They pulled him out of the pit and sold him to some merchant men for 20 pieces of silver. 10 brothers, 2 pieces of silver each, and Joseph is gone out of their lives. You kind of wonder, what was their conversation around the campfire that night? What did they say to each other? They had that coat of many colors. They ripped it and tore it. The goat that they slaughtered for supper that night, they sprinkled its blood on it. And they had this all figured out on what they were going to do. And present it to their father. This is your son's coat? Yes, that's my son's coat. And a wild animal must have gotten him, killed him. And this is all that we found. It was quite a concocted story. And maybe they discussed that without remorse, without regret, without any feelings for the rest of the family. And then what was the night like for Joseph? Wow. He thought he could sit down with his brothers. He thought he could discuss how things were going as far as pasture land and wells and the flock's increase and all of this stuff, you know, and saying, I bring you greetings from our father. He's doing well. And you know, all of the family things that he could have talked about. But instead, he's sold into slavery. Life is not fair. I mean, that's pretty simple to figure out. And Joseph being on the auction block as far as a slave is concerned, but God's hand, Potiphar, is the captain of Pharaoh's guard. And so he's the one who bought Joseph and made him a slave in his household. But here's the key. The scripture says the Lord was with Joseph. Never forget. He's promised never to leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And thank God that we can put our trust in the Lord. And the fact that the Lord was with Joseph was recognized not only by Joseph, but by Potiphar as well. Recognizing, wow, everything that boy puts his hand to turns out good. He's got skills. He's got brains. He's got ability. I'm going to expand his responsibilities in my household. And that's what he did, because the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. And he became overseer of the house, and the Lord blessed Pharaoh's house, or rather Potiphar's house, because of Joseph. So he landed on his feet, we could say. He did pretty well. And then Mrs. Potiphar steps into the picture with her tease and her temptation and her treachery. Would fit into Hollywood pretty well in this day and hour, wouldn't she? Joseph refused. Significant, he didn't run to her, he ran from her. Huh. That's what a young man wanting to serve God is going to do. And so Joseph said, how can I, and what she was tempting him with, how can I sin against God? But it wasn't a one-day thing. It wasn't a one shot that she took at seducing him. Day after day, the Bible says, until finally he was framed. And he ran off without his coat, but he kept his integrity. He kept his righteousness. He kept his identity, because she complained then to her husband, that Hebrew that you brought in our house. I'm thankful that he maintained who he was, even though it meant jail. But jail still had the phrase, the Lord was with Joseph. Praise God. And mercy and favor from the keeper of the prison was extended to Joseph. And thank the Lord, four times in Genesis and the fifth time in Acts 7 and 9, the Lord was with Joseph. Praise God. And I'm thankful the presence and the power of God can be with us as well. The keeper of the prison recognized, here's an outstanding young man. He's got ability, he's got talent, he shows leadership. And so the keeper of the prison made Joseph a leader, because he saw that the Lord was with Joseph and made his work prosper. And then dreams. Dreams of the baker, dreams of the butler. And Joseph interpreted them. The baker was executed. The butler was restored, but forgot Joseph. That would be so frustrating, wouldn't it? Because Joseph specifically said, remember me. But for 2 years, the butler went on with his functions, went on with his responsibilities, living in the privileges of Pharaoh's palace and so on, and forgot Joseph until another dream. This time Pharaoh's dream. Fat and skinny cows, good corn, thin corn. What in the world does that mean? He couldn't figure it out. Magicians, Chaldeans, interpreters, all the different ones didn't have a clue. Skinny cows, fat cows, what in the world? And corn, good corn, thin corn. No one could interpret. The butler remembered. He said a Hebrew in prison interpreted my dream. And there's Joseph's identity again. He didn't lose it. He didn't just compromise and melt into the crowd. He maintained his heritage and his language and his standing as a Hebrew. When Joseph was summoned by Pharaoh, the Bible says he shaved and he changed his garments because he determined, I'm not coming back here. I'm gonna continue on with God's favor. And when the dream was told him, he said, it's not me that's going to interpret it. It's not me that's going to give the answer. God will give the answer. See how his preparation, how he relied upon the Lord? He didn't say, oh, here's a good chance for me to step forward. Here's a good chance for me to shine. He said, God's going to do it. And so the interpretation, 7 years of great and plenty, 7 years of famine and hardship. And Joseph advised, prepare. And then he was put in charge of the preparation. And so from the prison to the palace, what a change. Second in command. Pretty amazing. He's given symbols of power and authority. He's recognized throughout the kingdom. Vestures, fine linen. I wonder if he thought, this makes up for the 2 coats I lost. Fine linen. The Bible lets us know yours is going to be eternal. The righteousness of the saints. Praise God. Hang on. Hang on. Don't let the world get it dirty for you. Don't let the devil trip you. You keep on. Praise God. Because the devil will certainly attempt to trade you your righteousness for his rags. Oh, it'll look appealing. It'll look wonderful. It'll look just like the tremendous opportunity that the devil presents all the time. But it's a shadow. It's pretty like a bubble. You know, all the colors swirling in that bubble. You blow out there and it looks so nice. Then pop, it's gone. That's what the devil offers. Hold on to your hope of heaven and wearing that fine linen of righteousness. Joseph held on. He became the ruler over all Egypt, second to Pharaoh. And Acts 7 and 9, this is the Acts 7 is the portion where the Lord was with Joseph. And that's where normally when I would be preaching, when I'd be speaking about Joseph, that's what I would say, the Lord is with Joseph. I've learned to go on to verse 9. Because look what the Lord did. Delivered him out of all his afflictions. Gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Made him governor over Egypt and all his house. That's awesome. Amazing what God can do. The deliverance, the favor, the wisdom, the creative power that God has to bring something out of nothing. and make it available for us as we continue our walk with the Lord. And then God gave him a family. He named his son Manasseh. God made me forget. Second son was named Ephraim. God caused me to be fruitful. God brings those kinds of blessing to us. We forget that those hardships and those problems, those difficulties. The devil comes with his reminders. You rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You just flat put him down. He'll bring up your mistakes. He'll bring up your problems. He'll bring up what you could have, would have, should have, all of those situations. And you claim peace and rest in Jesus Christ because you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, that precious blood. Amen. Some things we do want to remember, the blessings of God, the times that we're prayers were answered, but lots of things to forget. Did Joseph remember Mrs. Potiphar's treachery? Did he remember his brothers throwing him down into the pit? Did he remember the butler forgetting him for 2 years? He could have carried a grudge on all of those situations for a long time. And humanity would have been excused as saying, you deserve to carry a grudge like that. But that's an unnecessary burden. And Joseph must have figured that out. He must have figured it out. It's just keeping me awake. It's just taking away my appetite. It's not worth it. Because in this position of power now, second in command of the whole civilization of Egypt, he could have organized a hunt to go looking for his brothers. He could have summoned Potiphar and his wife. He said, I'm going to pay you back. He could have tapped on the butler's shoulder. Remember me? You didn't remember me for 2 years. But he wasn't interested in paybacks. God prepared him to forgive. A man named Kettering said, my interest is in the future because I'm going to spend the rest of my life there. That's pretty profound. But I don't want to be dragging the garbage of the past. It doesn't help me. Doesn't at all. So God prepared Joseph's heart to forgive. And that's what he did. 7 years of plenty. He had a lot of work, a lot of preparation. He had all the privileges, but he exercised the fullness of responsibility as well. And it's a big undertaking. The harvest was huge. I don't think it was ordinary because it was 7 years of plenty. There was way more than what they had had before. So the harvest was a lot of work. The whole country had to be tended to. And not just 7 months, but 7 years. And so you can imagine the silos, the barns, all of those things that were constructed because the corn that he gathered was as the sand of the sea. Couldn't count it because this was preparation for what was coming. 7 years of famine. And in the abundance, in the good and so on, it's easy to forget that judgment is the other side of the coin as far as God's character is concerned. He is a God of judgment also. And that's why there was going to be the 7 years of famine, is because there would be those who would not prepare and would not recognize God and his blessing. But the need to be ready to serve God in the triumphs and in the tears, the storms that come to saints and to sinners alike, to plow right through them and keep going and don't stop. Everybody ended up coming to Joseph, not just from the far reaches, far countries, because we know his brothers eventually will make their way to Egypt as well, but everybody in Egypt came to Joseph, and he opened the storehouse for them. Can you imagine when Potiphar and his wife came walking up? And the butler? They all came and bought because they didn't prepare. And then the countries came to Egypt, and Joseph's brothers showed up. Joseph's, 37 years old now? Over 20 years have gone by. And he recognized his brothers, but they didn't recognize him. He looked like an Egyptian sovereign to them. And he pretended not to understand their Hebrew. They're talking back and forth about the situation involving Joseph. Because I wonder, on their journey from Canaan down to Egypt, were they thinking, you know, I wonder what happened to Joseph. I wonder if he's still alive. I wonder if he's okay. He's a slave. Maybe, you know, they probably discussed all kinds of things. Maybe not. I don't know. But we know the dream. And the brothers bowed down. It was a long time for the dreams to come to pass, but they finally did. And Joseph, and what was going through his mind, as you know, God is faithful. He brought things to pass. The situation has changed completely. And when his brothers were speaking of their misdeed involving Joseph, he could understand them. And then we'll skip ahead to Benjamin being brought down, and Joseph requiring that Benjamin remain with them. And then it was Judah, the one who had the idea to sell Joseph, now willing to stay in Egypt in Benjamin's place. So thank God there are some changes that were taking place. There were some changes that were happening in their hearts. It wasn't all just a hard, you know, let's get rid of Joseph and he's worth 20 pieces of silver and we'll each get 2 pieces of silver and good riddance. No, Joseph forgave, and when he could have been vengeful, and he returned their money when it could have been revenge, but he let them know, God did send me before you to preserve life. That's quite a perspective. That's the big picture. That's not getting stuck on revenge and vengeance. That's not feeling like he's got every right for revenge and paybacks. No, he's looking way ahead. God sent me. You meant it for harm and for hardship, but God meant it for good. That was the most important preparation that took place in Joseph's heart, is to recognize how God was ordering his steps. God was leading him. God was providing for him. Praise God. And then everything, you know, the Goshen was a place prepared when Jacob and all the 70 family members came, and they stayed in that place, and we know the 430 years that went by, and Moses being raised up and so on, the whole story beginning to unfold. But there would have been a lot of things change if Joseph harbored paybacks and grudges and an unforgiving spirit. If he'd have killed his brothers, no Judah. Who was to come from Judah? There'd be no Jesus. So the whole thing would have changed. The whole situation. Oh my. God help us. Amen. To crucify our humanity and be willing to forgive. It's easy to say. But God help us to be able to work through it as well and see that the Lord can help us to prepare. Praise God. And the blessing of the Lord that would come forth. Before I go to David and just quickly talk about his preparation, let me just give a up-to-date report here. Secaucus, New Jersey. We've all been there, right? They had a building that they used to worship in and maintain, and for years they were there. And then the building came up for sale, and a Hindu group wanted to buy it to make it their temple. Well, this church wanted to continue using it. That's the building that they'd been in for a long time. They needed $200,000 for a down payment. They had been able to work somehow with a loan, but they needed $200,000 more. That seems like an insurmountable task. Seems like a difficulty in being able to produce that. But 270 people took it upon themselves to contribute. An anonymous donor gave $50,000. One church gave $11,000. And somehow, from all of those 270 donors, the $200,000 goal was met. And the church made the purchase. And instead of preparing to move out, they're preparing a church dedication for next June. Praise God. So we thank the Lord that there can be these blessings that come. Now, David and Solomon were the ones who were building the temple. David wanted to build, but the Lord told him, no, it's your son that's going to build. And David said, I like his statement in 1 Chronicles 29 and 2, because of how he lets us know he didn't hold back. Here's what he said. Now, I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. That's quite a statement, isn't it? How he recognized, if it's going to get done and my son's going to be the one doing it, I better help him with all I've got. I better pour it out like never before. I better make sure he has everything that he needs. And so David prepared with all his might. Praise God. We know in the end times that there's got to be a temple. And we don't know how that's going to come to pass. We don't know how it's going to be fulfilled. But it is going to happen. And we hear reports of preparation, just like David was making preparation. We hear reports of priests being trained to offer sacrifice, like they did in the Old Testament. And, oh my, we better be ready. The coming of the Lord is so very, very soon. Now, I mentioned Goshen, a place prepared for Jacob and his family. Jacob didn't want to be buried in Egypt. He made his boys carry him up to Canaan and buried him there. And that's when the boys were talking among themselves, you know, that again in Hebrew. And that's when Joseph put him at ease, saying, God sent me before you. And then Joseph told his brothers, their descendants, God's going to visit you and take you out of here. And when you leave, you take my bones with you. He's not in some pyramid back there, some sarcophagus or anything like that. You carry me out of here, and you take me to the promised land. Praise God. And when they were making preparation to leave Egypt, guess what they did? They got Joseph's bones. Amen. Praise God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. We're not going to be carrying a bag of bones. We're going to meet the resurrected in that place. Praise God. But getting ready, the preparation, is so important. Now, we understand when Jesus said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit, that the disciples understood what he was saying. And they fulfilled it in the book of Acts, where people were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, and the pattern is there. Chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 19, chapter 22. That pattern is established for us to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's part of the preparation. And then be born of the Spirit. And Acts chapter 2, that's when it began. In those same chapters that I mentioned, thank God, that pattern was fulfilled again. That's getting ready. Amen. That's the new birth. What comes after the new birth? New life. And that's part of getting ready. And making sure, just like Joseph refused temptation, Joseph took what was put on his plate, so to speak, and made a good situation out of it. That's what we've got to do. Continuing on with our walk with God and not falling apart when we have situations that come against us. And sometimes, man, we go through some things that you wonder how in the world you're going to come out on the other end. But thank God, the scripture says you're going to go through the fire, through the water, through the river. You're not going to get stopped. You're not going to, you know, run into an obstacle that's going to hold you back completely. You're going to go through those situations. If God be for us, who can be against us? And thank the Lord, that's how we can look at every situation and every difficulty. The Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. And then he repeated it again in the latter part of John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. And I'm thankful that he would make that statement, because there's a lot of troubling situations in our world right now. A lot of difficulties that are coming upon Christianity. Christianity is under attack. But thank God we can believe what the Lord says and hold on to him. Because he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, he's not a carpenter up in the sky banging away on a place for you. No. He's talking about the preparation that is going on in our lives and in our hearts. And then he makes the promise, where I am, there you may be also. Amen. And thank God that's a situation that exists even now as his presence comes and ministers to us. His power is there. He lifts us up and strengthens us. He makes the way and he opens the doors. Thank God. And we're faithful, and he opens the windows of heaven and pours out a blessing. You won't even be able to contain it. That's all the preparation that God wants to see going on in our lives and in our hearts so that we can be ready. So being ready, don't delay. Don't hold back. Don't wait until the last minute. It's easy to wait till the last minute, right? Getting ready to go somewhere, getting ready to go on a trip. Oh, I got to make sure of this, got to make sure of that. Dashing around into the late hours of the night, trying to get everything ready to go. And don't do that spiritually. Amen. Because the trumpet is going to sound. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, oh my. Ever stop and think about what that's going to feel like? How that's going to happen, what is going to take place. Now, in the presence of the Lord, when we're worshiping, when we're feeling his power and we're feeling his goodness and his spirit is moving, and oh my, it's beyond words, beyond description. God gives us another language to praise him in. What is it going to be like to take that first step on the streets of gold? What's it going to be like to see our loved ones there welcoming us? Amen. What is it that Sister Wade said? She's going to be the greeter. She wants to be the greeter. She'll be there to shake your hand and give you a big hug. Amen. And just so many others that we're going to be able to be reunited with. What a reunion. My word. What an incredible time. Preparation. See, we've got to keep that in the forefront of our minds. I'm preparing. I'm not lagging. I'm not neglecting. I'm not waiting. I'm not delaying. I'm preparing. Praise God. Because eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. I want to find out. I don't want to miss out. I want to see what has been prepared. Amen. We sang, I can only imagine. And I'm thankful that we can imagine. Praise God. Not evil imaginations, not the garbage that the devil throws at us, but no, that heavenly place. Praise God. And the power that the Lord is going to reveal as we continue to be ready. Amen. Oh my, I'm so thankful that waters of baptism is where I had the name of Jesus called over me. I'd been baptized as a baby, but you have to repent before you're baptized. Like you have to die before you're buried. So we die in repentance to our old lifestyle, asking God for forgiveness. And then we're buried in his precious name. And then resurrection. Praise God. Powerful as the Spirit of God comes and dwells within us. Amen. And thank God it's a reality. You know, that's what's so amazing. Prophecy sometimes can be a bit confusing. You know, we're not sure what some of the writings in Revelation mean. And, what's going to take place here? What's going to happen? Well, I'm thankful that the Word of God has been fulfilled in my life, in your life, as far as Acts 2:38 is concerned. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's prophecy. And it happened. It was fulfilled in your life. That gives me confidence that the rest of it is going to come to pass as well. Praise God. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it. Amen. It's happening more and more. God's preparing. And God help us to prepare as well. Stand with me now, please. Preparing for a trip, the rapture, the catching away of the bride of Christ. That's the most important trip. Amen. And it's simple to get ready for. There are those that in religion want to complicate things, want to make it hard because it, oh my, if it's that great, it's got to be hard to fulfill. No. Very simple, born of the water, born of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, obedience to the Word of God. I thank the Lord we're on that journey. Mm-hmm. Amen. And there's tests, there's trials, there's fire, there's hardship, but there's also answers, there's provision, there's presence of God. There's the guidance of his word, the fellowship of his people. I'm so thankful that the Lord has called us out of darkness into his marvelous, marvelous light. Praise God. And I'm thankful that's a reality as well. Can we come and stand here tonight? We'll pray for a little bit before we're dismissed. I want our request tonight to start out with a specific prayer, specifically asking the Lord, help me to prepare, help me to be ready, whatever it takes, God, help me to be ready. And I think that's the kind of prayer that God delights in answering. That's the kind of prayer that angels will be dispatched to minister to you and ensure that you're in the place that you can be ready. Praise God. And thank God that he came. A body hath you prepared me, the scripture says. And that body hung on a cross. so that there could be the fulfillment of the prophecy, be born of the water and of the Spirit. Praise God. He made the way. And oh, I'm so thankful. He let us know what was required. And we stepped in to that realm of the promises of God and the blessings that He's provided. Amen. We can give Him praise tonight, and we can ask Him, Lord, help me to be ready. Help me to prepare. Can we do that right now?
Thank you.